kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I trust that these studies that we are doing, you know, just trying to understand the nature and the character, the personality of our great God. I trust that this is helping you, as it has been such a blessing to I myself as we share together. So this is your brother Ferdinand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these truths that you are bringing to us. Please continue to give us light. Continue to reveal yourself to us. One man cannot bring the revelation of God effectively to another man without your grace. Reveal yourself to us personally, Lord, that you will not be a theory, that you will be real, that, Father, we will be among the people that do know their God. For you said, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. So, we have been looking at divine attributes, and we closed the last study with the fact that our God is a consuming fire. That quality of God is all over the pages of Scripture. You will see fire, 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 fire. And I'm not talking about the fire that people are commanding upon their enemies these days. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the character of God himself. He even has eyes of fire. That's what the Bible says. He has eyes of fire. His feet, they are like fire, raging fire burning. So this person, in the book of Isaiah chapter 33 verse 14, God is called the everlasting burnings. Burnings that are from eternity to eternity. Oh God, how great our God is. The devouring fire. He says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29 that our God is a consuming fire. So because God is consuming fire, then God is light. So you see, the fact that God is light is in complete agreement with the fact that God is a consuming fire. In him, there is no darkness at all. At all, at all. Because there can be no darkness inside fire. Oh, glory to God. What a matchless, majestic God we serve. Oh, that God will reveal himself to us more and more and more and more. He sits enthroned on a throne of fire, brought in by wheels of fire. Daniel chapter 7 says a river of fire was flowing forth from before him, and thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions stood around him, ministering to him, and many others stood waiting for judgment. This is our God. Does this mean that God is going to consume us? No, 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 we are his children. What it does mean is that those of us that he decided to show mercy, we must never take God for granted. We cannot make presumptive assumptions and then assume that nothing will happen. We can live however we like, nothing will happen. No, see, there are no two gods. Do you know that some Christians think that there is this God of wrath and judgment and this stern God of justice in the Old Testament? And then you now have the God of grace and mercy in the New Testament. There is nothing can be further from the truth. No, he's the same person. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the same person who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. He's the same person that came down on Mount Sinai, and the entire mountain was quaking. Moses was so terrified. Moses said, "I exceedingly quake and fear with trembling." The children of Israel, we are shouting. He said, "No, Moses, please tell him we don't want to hear again from him directly. Let him talk to you and then you come and talk to us. Because if it continues like this, we are going to die." That is the same God that gave us Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the same God that now invites us to come to the throne of grace because of what Jesus has done for us. That's the one we call Father. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonder. And you see, the plan of God is that we will be so grateful for his graciousness that we will worship him with reverence. We will abide in his presence, walking in the light, bringing pleasure to him, and not provoking the divine majesty. So if we are going to walk closely with God, we must respect his character. Do you know that those who don't respect your character, you cannot be close to them? People who don't respect your time, you don't have time for them. People who don't respect truth. If you're a man of truth and you have people who are always telling lies and you tell them something, they say you are a liar. Can you walk closely with them? The answer to that is a capital no. Likewise, if God is true, but we are not so sure and we are doubting his faithfulness, we cannot have a close walk with God. So the more we are appropriately, correctly aligned with the divine attributes, the more we get to know God and the more those attributes work on our behalf. And then the more those attributes reflect in our own lives. You see, this is the key to holiness. Holiness does not come because somebody said, I'm going to be holy now. I must be holy. You know, I have to make heaven, so I'm going to be holy now. I have to be holy. I won't do that. And the person is, walking up his own self-determination to achieve holiness. That is not how to be holy. Holiness comes to us as an overflow of his own holiness. Holiness is communicated to us by his nature that we receive when we receive him into our lives. And then holiness manifests in us as we allow him to live in us and live through us. That's how to be holy. I'm telling you, the more we allow him to express his holiness through us, the more we surrender and let him have his way. A day will pass, 1 week will pass, 1 month will pass, and you are not planning sin. You are not committing sin. Rather, you are committing righteousness. You know, some people think it's only sin you can commit. You can also commit righteousness, and you can plan to commit righteousness the way unbelievers plan to commit sin. Glory to God Almighty. In Jesus' name. So now we are looking at, in this segment, the three omnis that are popular about God. Omniscient, omnipresence, omniscience, and then omnipotence. Hallelujah. You hear that God is omnipresent, God is omnipotent, and God is omniscient. So we'll be dealing with that in this segment. Now, let's look at omnipresence, the omnipresence of God. That simply means that he fills heaven and earth. We cannot escape him. There is no place we are going to go where we are going to avoid the presence of God, where we can hide from our omnipresent God. Now, Psalm 139, I was looking at Psalm 139 as I was preparing to share this with you, and it suddenly dawned on me that Psalm 139 actually describes these three divine attributes: a divine omnipresence, his omniscience, and then his omnipotence. If you look at it from verse 1, Psalm 139 from verse 1, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know, see, it's dealing with knowledge here now. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge, wonderful knowledge, one version says, is too wonderful for me, is too much for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. He is describing the divine omniscience. There is nothing about me you don't know. You know my rising up, you know my lying down, you know my sitting, you know every thought that is going through my mind, you know all my plans, you know the future, you know my past, you know every cell, you know my future, you have my, you know it all. is discussing the divine omniscience. Now from verse 7, he said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Notice, he's not discussing knowledge now, it's presence. He said, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, in Sheol, the world of the dead, he said, behold, you are there. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, he said, even there, your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, shall cover me. He said, even the night shall be light about me. If I say, I'm going to run and hide in darkness, the night will be light around me. Now listen to verse 12, such a wonder revealing the character, the personality, the power, and the omniscience of our God. Verse 12, Psalm 139, look what he says. He says, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Amazing. Come and hear what the scripture is saying here. He says, the darkness cannot hide from you. He said, the night shines like the day. In other words, as far as God is concerned, look what he says at that last part. He said, the darkness and the night are alike to you. The literal of verse 12, that first part says, the darkness darkeneth not to you. The darkness is not dark to you. Hi. The darkness darkens not when you are involved. What is dark is not dark to you. You are exempted from the darkening power of darkness. He said, even the night will shine like the light. Wow. So what the scripture is telling you that when it is dark to us, it is not dark to God. When we can't see a way, it's clear as day. When we are confused, it's not confused. Things that are convoluted, complicated, they are plain and simple. And there's nothing that is hidden, not manifest in his sight. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. In the darkest hour of the night, as we are passing through the valley of the shadow of death, he himself is not under the shadow of death. We are the ones that are under the shadow. That are passing through the shadow. But glory to God, when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with us. And we too, we are under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, the valley of the shadow of death is not the only reality. There is a bigger reality. Toy, hallelujah. I said there is a bigger reality in your life. What you are passing through now is not the only reality. It is real. I'm not denying that fact. But there is a bigger reality. The bigger reality is the shadow of the Almighty who is with you. Hallelujah. And the shadow of the Almighty is not dark because he is light. Yo, it simply describes the umbrella, the canopy of the Almighty One. And by his light, you will walk through the darkness. Glory to God. Psalm 139, David knew God. He knew the divine omniscience, and then he knew the divine omnipresence. That there's nowhere he's going to go that God will not be there. Oh, do you know, child of God, there is not nowhere you are going to go that your Father will not be present. You cannot travel beyond his reach. You cannot go beyond his power. Hallelujah. And then he now began to describe the divine omnipotence. Look at it from verse 13. He said, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. He's describing God's power and the things that God made. And he says, that my soul knows very well. He described his creation. And then look at verse 19. He said, oh, that you will slay the wicked, O God. He's talking about God's ability, God's power, overwhelming authority over the wicked. His unlimited power to create, to do wonderful things and to bring the wicked under. In Psalm 139, you see this man of God bringing a revelation of the divine omniscience, the divine omnipresence, and the divine omnipotence. No wonder this thing is coming from David. The man knew God. I pray that you will know God, know him in his attributes, know him in his fullness. Do you know that God is omnipresent? In Jeremiah chapter 23, let me read that scripture. Jeremiah chapter 23, and I believe is from verse 23 to verse 24. Listen to what God said. He said, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, says the Lord?" He said, "Don't I feel heaven and earth? Eh? Am I near and I'm not far away? Huh? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I will not see him?" Hey, do you know that if we come to a revelation of the divine omnipresence, we will know that God is there. God is there. In the darkest hour of the night, God is there. Behind the closed door, God is there. Joseph knew that when nobody else was present, God was present. So when Mrs. Potiphar said, "Lie with me, sleep with me," Joseph said, "Madam, what you are saying is terrible. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And Mrs. Potiphar said, "Which God are you talking about? Which God? Pharaoh is in his palace. He is the God we worship here. Osiris and all the gods of Egypt, they are not present here. Which God are you talking about?" Joseph was talking about Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph knew that God was there. God was in the room where Mrs. Potiphar wanted him to commit adultery with her. When she dived to catch him, Joseph left his coat and escaped, you know, through the window, through the door. He fled. He ran away. Why did Joseph resist sin? Because he knew that God was present. Oh, today's church, we have forgotten that God is present. We have forgotten. When we are signing deals and making compromises in the office, God was there. When people are collecting bribes and changing figures, God is there, is watching. When those two engaged brethren, brother and sister, planning to get married, as you are touching yourself before the wedding date, God is present. God is watching. He said, "Can anybody hide himself in a secret place so that I will not see him?" Eh? The man that is hiding his mistresses and all the women he's following from his wife, God is there. God is watching. God knows. Oh, the divine omnipresence, the divine omniscience, we make us to live lives that please God. And what a comfort to know that God is there, because it means I will never be alone. No situation will ever arise that he will not be present. Oi, hallelujah. No situation will ever arise that he will be confused, because he has all knowledge. He knows the future. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows tomorrow. He knows what the devil is planning against my life. He knows what is waiting in darkness to surprise Brother Ferdinand, his child, his son, purchased with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He knows. He knows. He knows the mistakes that I could make that will ruin my life. He knows already. I can rest in his grace. He will help me. He will deliver me. He knows. Do you know that God knows what the enemy is planning against you? Omniscience guarantees that. He knows the pits. He knows the plots, the plans of the wicked one. Hi, God knows. He knows what to do to get you out, to solve the problem. He is not confused. He is present. He doesn't just know, he is present, and then he has all power. Do you know that omnipresence plus omniscience plus omnipotence equals unlimited potentials? I said omniscience plus omnipresence plus omnipotence equals unlimited potentials. Hey, somebody who knows everything, he is present in everywhere, and he has infinite, unlimited, unstoppable power. That person, his potential is unlimited. Omnipotent. Omnipotential. Hey, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the grace of God towards us in Christ. Oh, that we will come to know God. I want to know God. I want to see him as he is. I want to, because the bigger God gets in my eyes, the tinier mountains become. Look, anytime I can see God clearly, every time I get the revelation of his person, anything can happen. See, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present, well-tested help in the time of trouble. Therefore, for that reason, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains are cast into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar, though the sea shakes with the swelling thereof, though anything. He said there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the tabernacle, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. He said, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Wow, what an awesome God we serve. Meditate on these things. Study them for yourself. Establish them. Yo. The more you see God, this God who fills heaven and earth, it means he's present. He fills your heart, child of God. He lives in heaven, but he lives in you. Hallelujah. What an awesome God. You know, sometimes I get so excited like this in my spirit. and I just, there's an overflow in my spirit. Just gazing on God and studying him. Do you know that the divine omnipresence is not just a question of being omnipresent in place? God is also omnipresent in time. He's present in today. He's present in yesterday. He's present in next week. He's present in next 20 years. He's present in the next millennium. You know why this is possible? It's because he's eternal. You see, time is sandwiched between two eternities. I said time is sandwiched between two eternities. Do you know that from everlasting, once upon a time, there was no time? That's the eternal past. Then God created time. Once upon a time to come, there will be no more time. That's the eternal future. God inhabits eternity. He encompasses the eternal past, the present, and the eternal future at the same time. So he is omnipresent in eternity. He is omnipresent in time. In other words, he's already in next week. He's in the next 10 years. So when somebody who is like that says, fear not, I am with you. When he says, I will supply your needs, there is nothing that can surprise him that will change the promise. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Hey, oh God, our God is a great God. There's none like him. God does not need to rewind to the past or fast forward to the future. He inhabits all of them at the same time. And now, apart from the divine omnipresence, you also have the manifest presence of God. You see, the plan of God is not that believers will relate with God according to, you know, omnipresence. In a general sense, God is everywhere. God would have us experience, carry, enjoy his manifest presence. But what do I mean by manifest presence? You will read scriptures like Exodus 33, 12 to 23, where Moses was saying to God, if your presence does not go with us, let's cancel this journey. Which presence is Moses asking for? Obviously, it's not general omnipresence. He's asking for the manifest presence of God. God was not with Israel in a general omnipresent dimension. No, God was present manifestly. The pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud was with them. The rock, Christ, was traveling with them in the wilderness. Hi, God was present. You read the Bible, talk about some people. He said God was with him. God was with Joseph. God is supposed to be everywhere, but he was manifestly with Joseph. In Habakkuk chapter 3, the Bible says God came from Teman. And the Holy One of Israel shined forth from, he came from Seir. And the Holy One of Israel, he shined forth from Mount Paran. God came. God is everywhere. So how can he be coming and going? Ha, ha, ha. That is a dimension of the presence of God called the manifest presence of God. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him, manifestly, tangibly with him. You must covet the manifest presence of God. That is your heritage as a child of God. God was with him. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Ghost is upon you. Oh, but you need to walk in the light of the indwelling and carry and reveal that manifest presence. Glory to God Almighty. Glory to God Almighty. If you know that he's present, it will take away fear from your heart. Eh? A revelation of divine omnipresence will do plenty things for you. Look at Jesus multiplying bread in the wilderness. He could not be stranded, because even in the wilderness, God was there. So when Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, the Bible says, looking up to heaven, the source that cannot run dry, Jesus prayed. He said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, that bringeth forth food out of the earth." He blessed God and he blessed the bread. In the wilderness, God was there to multiply, to supply. Wow. Omnipresence means that you can never be alone. Eh? Wow. You can never be stranded in life, because your Father is present. Now, the omniscience of God, you know, we have also seen, implies that God knows everything. He knows where I am. He knows where he kept me. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I need. You see, prayer is not like an arrangement to, give God a lecture on all our needs and all our problems. It's first of all for us to draw near, to know him. And of course, make our requests, but make them knowing that he already knows. And he's a responsible Father. Hallelujah. 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 So it means that we don't hide anything, because God knows. If you must hide something, hide your good works, not evil. Because God knows. It's clear to him already. God knows those who are liars. He knows fornicators and adulterers. God knows those who are cheating. He knows those who are robbing, plundering a nation. God knows those who are stealing what they call government money. God knows those who are unfaithful. People may not know, but God knows. I cannot comfort myself and say, well, nobody knows. God knows, and is the one that matters. So what this means is that I cannot be hiding evil, because God already knows. Oh God, help me to live my life in the light of your presence, with your approval. Blessed be God forevermore. We are going to be spending time to study the divine omnipotence, the power of God. We are going to have several sessions studying that. So, but just remember that God is omnipotent, totally unlimited in his ability to do or undo. Eh? Is there anything too hard for him? Has his arm been shortened? The Almighty God. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. Wow, he is able. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save. He has all power. We will be studying that in due course. And so we have established that our God is omniscient. He is omnipresent and is omnipotent. And these astounding divine attributes belong to us. Hallelujah. They belong to us. They are working on our behalf. His presence is working on your behalf. Sometimes when I pray, listen to the way I pray at times. I say, oh God, help me with your omniscience. Help me with your omnipresence. Let your omnipotence undertake for me. Bring your omnipotence crashing into my impotence. I can't, but you can. I don't know, but you know. I don't have, but you have. And you are my Father, and you are more than enough. Tuar, do you know when you start praying like this with reference to the divine attributes? Faith, will rise in your spirit and you will reach out and believe God for the great things that he wants to do in and through your life. Imagine the impact of this revelation on your life, on your family, on your behavior, on your character, on your ministry. Imagine you are preaching knowing that the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient one. That's why God can reveal things to us. He can give you revelations because he knows. We can ask him questions. He can answer because he knows. He knows mathematics. He knows chemistry. He knows medicine. God knows business. He understands investments. He knows. He knows ministry. He knows miracles. Wow! What an awesome God. Oh, gracious Father, we worship you. We praise you. We praise you. You are terrible. You are great. You are awesome. You know our bodies. You know our feelings. You know where the pain is. You know where the healing is needed. You know. You know where the enemy is coming from. You know what is hiding in the darkness. You know the plans of the enemy concerning us. And you also know the plans that you have. And now, your plans swallow every plan of the enemy in Jesus' name. I rebuke and frustrate and paralyze every satanic gang up against your children in the name of Jesus. And Lord, everything we have done in secret, forgetting that you know, we plead the blood that Jesus shed. We receive cleansing in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, Father, forever. Oh, continue to reveal yourself to us that we may know you, that we may see you continually in the fullness of your power and your majesty. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Become bigger in our eyes, O God. Oh, the ever-present one. Make us conscious continually of your presence for us, with us, and inside us. And let your manifest presence accompany us, O God. Like Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, don't move us one inch from here. Father, beginning now, cause us to experience your presence like never before as our permanent daily heritage in life and service, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. The Lord bless you, servant of God. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.